You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Nobody likes a spiteful man.
You're driving, Jack.
We're on, buddy.
I'm driving. Bing is for doing, and we are doing the Bates Motel After Show. I was waiting for the hook, or this was it, right?
You were waiting for the hooker?
It's at the hook.
She's coming, don't worry.
Wait for the hook of the song.
The chorus of the song.
Oh, well. We'll be here for a minute.
Hook. Here it comes.
All right.
One more time.
Yeah.
Love stinks.
Bing is for doing, and we are doing the Bates Motel After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined by my good friend Joe Sanfilippo.
How are you guys doing?
And my gooder friend Mando Velasquez.
What's up, everybody?
Wait a second.
And my bestest friend in the whole world, Dua Casey.
That's me. Welcome. Hi.
Even without cookies.
Even no cookies today, but
wow,
that's okay. Joe was late.
Only good boys get cookies.
All right. So, here we are, episode 7. I almost call it episode 9, but episode 7, The Man in Number 9. And sad.
The song wasn't over.
Did you say hi to Marissa?
That's her cue.
That's your cue right there, Jack.
Hi, Marissa.
She deserves it. She deserves
Engineer extraordinaire.
Yes.
Producer Marissa.
There. Woo!
How you doing?
What's up, guys?
The Man in Number 9 turns out to be my man, Jerry
Burns.
Yes.
Who, you know, when Jerry Burns shows up in a show, shit's going to happen.
Nothing good is going to come of it.
He's Win Duffy from Justified. All you Justified fans know him as Win Duffy. You also know him from Breaking Bad. Some of you know from Breaking Bad.
Who was he in Breaking Bad?
He was, I think he's billed as the head of the gang or the head. He's one of the something. But he was.
Oh, yeah. He was the one they were doing business with, I think. They were doing business with him at some point.
He didn't have a name. It was like man in the gang or something. But yeah. So,
Well, he has a name here. His name is Jake Abernathy.
What a great name, Abernathy.
And most importantly, he was in Dear John. He was the great comedy. Yeah, he was in that comedy, Dear John.
He was also in Crocodile Dundee.
Was he?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's in one of the Dundees.
Anyway, I don't know.
We can take a look back.
All right.
Jerry Burns, he's a great character actor.
You know,
super funny guy.
Mm-hmm. I loved this episode. I really felt like it had a very X-Files vibe to it, the entire show. It was very mysterious. Even Dylan was really mysterious. I did like the show. And I did like, you guys talked a lot about shots last week. I loved the shot, the first shot where Sheriff Romero gets to the Bates house, and you see his face from the side mirror when he's driving up to the house, and all you see is his profile with the side mirror, which Sheriff Romero made up an entire story.
Very quickly.
He's
almost like he's done it before.
Yeah.
it was crazy. Now, do you think that he was trying to cover up his own involvement with this story?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. I mean, you're the sheriff.
You love that, don't you?
I do. That's my deal. You're the sheriff of this creepy little town where everybody drives BMWs and Cadillacs and Jaguars, and everybody owns that little antique shops. It doesn't make any sense, right? So we know everybody's selling drugs. So the sheriff has got to be used to making up some funky stories.
Yeah.
You've got to assume he was in on something to some degree.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seemed very... very, not honest, but he seemed like he was a real sort of detective, a real top cop when he was giving Norma that speech about, you know, I've done this a while, I know what I'm doing. Like, the way he was grilling Norma and the way he wanted to get to the bottom of that murder felt like a guy who really cared about his job, was really doing some real police work. Not like a guy who was just, like, trying to tie up loose ends.
Sure, but I felt like it was misdirection, though, at the beginning. Now you kind of see his true colors of, like, all right, within a scene, he did a complete 180. Now he's totally, like, on her side, and she didn't really seem to question it. She was
so relieved.
That was weird to me, though, that she was, like, all of a sudden, okay, great.
Well,
all right,
she was so relieved it was over.
The person who did have offense with it was Dylan, because it took all the work that he did, all the good stuff that he did, and Romero took all the credit. So, which I thought was interesting too. I think our we'll hopefully find out what Romero's motives are, because I still don't think he's 100% good cop all of a sudden. But
I suspect they're not going to be good.
But I feel like he was doing he was taking credit for everything. He's pretty much super cop right now with that story. So
I also think it's worth pointing out, in just a purely from an aesthetic point of view, whoever did his eye makeup needs to be taken out and beaten with sticks.
It's not makeup. Oh wait.
Is that no, is, he doesn't look like that, does he? He's got like underliner. It looked Egyptian.
No, that's not. He actually said in an interview once, because they always talk about his eye makeup, that's actually natural. That is, he does not wear any eye makeup.
Are you kidding?
I'm not
even
joking.
That's his deal.
That's his thing. He's just,
let you say it like that. Yeah, that's his deal. Like everybody knows that.
Yeah,
everybody
knows. He doesn't wear. At least that's what he said in an interview. I don't know if this is just like an eyeliner conspiracy that he's like, I'm going to wear it, but I don't want to tell anybody I'm wearing it.
That was some
it.
Ken Tut looking stuff. I mean, yeah, that was who? Ken Tut.
Okay. Is it Ken Tut?
Me too.
Is that, oh, is that
I don't know who
that
Ken
is
Tut.
Better? Ken?
King Tut. I'm sorry.
All right. That's dismissed. What's next, Joe? Are you going to say that Owen Wilson should get his nose fixed? What's next?
Whoa. I didn't say anything. Owen, I love your nose. I think you got something great going on.
Oh, right. My.
Butterscotch cowboy.
I am not convinced. I mean, I hear what all you guys are saying about Sheriff Romero, but I just think that he is. I still think he's an honest guy. I think this is more about tying up loose ends. I mean, it looks really bad in the department. Like, it's a two-man operation, obviously. Really bad department. If one of the cops is dirty, he was involved with Keith Summers. Like, there's a lot of shit going on that it's almost easier for Romero to sort of say, okay, you've been through a lot. There's a sex slave. My deputy's dirty. Like, you know, my fishing buddy's an a-hole, tried to rape you. Well, like, let's just clean this thing up.
He didn't even ask her. There wasn't even this is going to be the story. Can you come down to the station to make a statement? There was nothing like that. It was just, everything was just like, all right, this is done, and walk out the door. And poor Dylan, who was like the hero in the entire situation, now just got in the way.
Yeah, got in the
and
way.
And he's like, you guys stole my thunder. What's going on?
Yeah, like, you kind of fell for Dylan that moment. But Norman and Norma, they were so that an embrace.
Yeah,
we did it. We win. They just kind of hug each other on the couch.
Happy.
Dylan's like, huh?
Shot and all alone, standing up.
Right? Norman is like, wait, I got shot, guys. Just long hug, long uncomfortable hug.
Romero's dirty.
Inappropriate hug, I should say.
Yeah. I do have to say, I did really enjoy Dylan's one-armed throwing the trash away move. Did you guys see that?
No.
He was shot in one arm, and he actually takes the trash and he opens it with his elbow and throws the bag in, and he just like the one arm. Yeah.
Oh.
When he's taking out the trash.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It was nice.
All right.
Yeah. Sweet move.
It was a nice move.
Maybe we'll do a one-arm move taking off a bra too. That's
the one little snap. Yeah.
I couldn't do it with two hands. If you paid me, it wouldn't happen.
It's a good thing you don't wear bras.
It's not wearing them this day. All right.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
That's the best news. And Marissa just gave us some really good news.
I missed it, but
that's
she
okay.
said that we can go long. We can take our time.
Yeah.
I guess there's not another show in after here.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Good.
All right.
We're like 30 minutes behind schedule, so it's good. Only going to be a 15-minute show, but now we can now we can actually finish on time. That's good news.
Mm.
So let's get actually into this episode. Well, actually, the other thing that happened is we talked about our visitor. You know, we'll unpack that a little more, mysterious visitor. We talked about the thing sort of being wrapped up, the whole, Shelby sex slave thing being wrapped up. But is the sex slave dead? Is
Giles? Sex slave got shot in the woods is what...
But is she shot? Or who said that?
That's what Dead
Sheriff Shelby said.
Like,
yeah.
Shot her dead in the woods or shot... she's not dead, right?
I think that she's going to be making an appearance.
She can't be dead.
I think that she's
no
definitely going to be making an appearance.
Right. I think she's dead.
Really? I don't know if she's dead or not, but it is kind of bizarre that we've wrapped up six episodes in a quick 2 minute. I don't trust it at all. I don't buy this whole.
Well, I think that's the importance of this mysterious new man, because really, if we just saw last week's episode, the first six episodes, then it really everything got wrapped up.
Yeah.
With Shelby being the bad guy. So now
right
we have to
start
off with the next chapter. The next chapter seems to start with this mysterious guy. This guy seems to be the foil now that's going to continue this going
along. He wants to rent all the rooms for 1 week, right? The first week of each month? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Every other month.
Every other month.
We'll get to him.
Well, I'm just saying that's all connected, this whole sex slave situation. It's not illegal, is it?
I want to expand on that in a second, but I want to ask the question. If, like, I'm confused. I went through the sketchbook, you know.
I tried to get a hold of Joe all night last night. I called him for about 6 hours. Nothing.
Available.
Finally got a hold of him. He sounded like heavy breathing, very sweaty. You know.
Yeah. I went through the sketchbook, and I forgot that it's a really elaborate, sad story. So, you know, she gets taken here. She's living a wonderful life. She gets, you know, taken here. She gets turned into a sex slave. This is Jiao, whatever her name is. Mm-hmm. But the part that's a crappy part is she has a buddy. She's a homegirl, and who gets killed?
Yeah, that's the girl that was buried.
It was buried by the drug shack,
right?
Exactly. But didn't she have to dig the hole to bury her?
Yes.
Yeah.
She did the hole to bury. Someone else read the sketchbook too. Yeah. Don't look at that.
Well, if you're having sex with a sex slave, you're tired. You don't have time to dig the hole after you kill her.
But my point is, we touched on that in episode two when Emma and Norman did their Scooby Doo move and found the shack, and the shack's real, and where's the grave, and that was it. So my long-winded point is to say that I think that the sex slave is the dead sex slave and Jiao are coming back. That mystery's not wrapped up.
You don't think the dead sex slave is dead? Like the one that was buried by
No, she's dead. This isn't Walking Dead. I mean, I spent that whole... She's a hand reaches up from the grave.
This show's getting weird.
People who are alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is that whole mystery is not wrapped up.
Yes.
Like, we still have an open-ended, like, what happened to the sex slave? Well, who's in charge?
Well, I think
why
that's,
is she dead? Jiao's in the woods. What the F's going on?
I think that's what Jake was looking for, actually. You think Jake was looking for the sex slave? That's what he was there?
Did you get that vibe?
Well, I thought that he was definitely a weed seller. He was like, well, where's Keith Summers? Like, he needed to, like, pick up a stash of weed and maybe have sex with a sex slave.
Mm. That was the vibe I got.
He was sitting there and he was, like, looking, trying to get into the room. But she was staying in room number 4, right?
The sex slave was room number 4.
He was in room number 9, so obviously there was something in that room. I definitely think that there's something there that he wants to retrieve.
Where was the book? The book was in
4.
It was in 4. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's the other thing about that. I actually think that, I keep calling him Wynn Duffy. What's his name? Is his Abernathy?
Abernathy.
Abernathy.
Jake Abernathy.
So I think Mr. Abernathy is larger than just picking up some weed. I think he's maybe running he got a little more. He's driving a nice car, nice Cadillac. I think he's maybe running something. Like, he may be running the operation.
Did you see his reaction?
Stacks of money.
Stacks.
He's not just picking up weed and, you know, having more fun.
He did. He had $500.
Yeah, he's not that
empty.
No, well, he at least rolled off $500 out of a stack of, I'm going to guess, it looked to me about $4,000 or $5,000.
So why did Keith Summers put his hotel in foreclosure again if he had this guy coming every other month just with a wad of $100 bills he's willing to throw at him?
Ooh, we haven't even... That's a good question.
That is a really good question.
Yeah.
So, and why... Did you notice that Jake did not seem at all shocked when Dylan was like, oh, he died? He kind of didn't seem shocked, almost a little upset. He was like, interesting. Like, you know, but there was definitely no surprise, no sadness.
No question. They're like, what happened to him?
Yeah.
He's my guy.
He didn't ask. Yeah. What's going on?
And the last question I have on this whole sex slave thing is, if in fact, again, thumbing through the sketchbook, I was also reminded that poor Jiao was held captive in the Bates Motel. So when they took her back to the motel, wouldn't that be traumatic for her? Like, she didn't seem too... She's, like, taking a shower. She's like, I'm back. Like,
well, it took her, like, a day and a half to get in the shower. It's not like she, you know...
But there was no trauma. Like, I can't be here. Like, a lot of shit. You see the sketchbook. A lot of stuff went down.
I didn't spend the time in the sketchbook
motel.
You spent.
I'm saying.
I haven't put the investment in you have.
I think she was probably just happy to not be tied up anymore.
Okay.
That, like, of course it's traumatic, but compared to what she's been experiencing in the past, like, she is just happy to not be chained somewhere.
Right.
Or locked in a closet.
Well, okay. Well, we'll jump into this whole thing in some further detail now. But I want to thank you all. Speaking of iTunes, where you can download the book for free, iTunes and iBooks. I want to thank you all.
Enjoy creepy, creepy, creepy drawings till 4 in the morning.
No. 2:30.
I don't know. I don't know if that went to bed. I'm just assuming.
2:30. No. So thank you all for joining us and listening to us on iTunes. We appreciate you completely downloading us as you always do. You were making us always in the top 3. Each episode is always rated very high. You guys are very loyal and wonderful with your comments. we listen to everything you have to say, read every single comment, and they're all wonderful. Even the ones that aren't so wonderful, we love those too.
But there really aren't any.
They're all pretty good.
You know what? Somebody actually wrote in. I wanted to talk about it this week, but we talked about Bradley this week, and they brought her back. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote in saying that they were wondering why Bradley wasn't back on the show because they thought that maybe. Maybe Norman had done something sinister to her, like she had turned him down and then he'd killed her because we didn't see her for a few episodes. But that, of course, was just all shot to hell when we saw her this episode. But I was going to talk about that if she wasn't in this episode.
Yeah.
So we do read all your comments.
Yeah. Even if apparently they go nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of my thoughts.
Like that whole thing just, I don't know.
A lot of Nando's thoughts went nowhere. Circular discussion.
We
have time now. We can talk about nothing.
thank you for listening to us on iTunes and continue to download us. And you can also now stream our show live on your all your devices, your iPhones and your iPads and your Android devices. You can stream the AfterBuzz show live. Now that's a new thing we have over at AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can also check us out on YouTube. And thank you for all your comments on YouTube as well and on Twitter as well. Thank you, all of you. We love you. We do.
Aww. Aww, he just turned into a big gushy bear right there.
I'm all gushed. Okay, so let's get... my head
it's
just
right,
give you
it's
like
fine.
A...
Come on, man up. Man
right.
up.
So, back. So let's talk about this episode. We kind of jumped into a little bit about Dylan and the sheriff and all that stuff. Let's jump into Norma. Is that you? Who's going to talk about Norma? And
are we going to do Norman? Norman.
Yeah,
Norma,
Emma, okay. Bradley. I think.
So piggybacking on what we talked about last week, when you asked me about that hug and if it was genuine, and I said that Norma, the character, has sincere moments with ulterior motives.
Right.
So Norma now really likes Emma. I think that she has this motherly vibe because she knows that that's what Emma needs, and Norma always wants to feel needed. So when Emma came over to the house, and by the way, I loved Olivia Cooke's performance when she's like, I just have allergies, and she started crying. It was
Olivia Cooke's amazing.
It was very sweet. Norma,
she's great.
She's
heartbreaker.
Great. Norma was on the steps, and Norma's cried that cry before. She knows that, you know, so she was like, can you take me? And so they got in the car and they went, and she showed her because Norma knew that Emma had this need and she needed to be supportive. But what Norma's real motive was, I think, is she wanted to get information on this girl that Norman's got his head wrapped around, Bradley.
But she didn't know about Bradley until they got in the car.
No, she knew. She knew that Norman went out and got laid. Remember? Because they had that whole argument. You went out, you got laid.
Well, she knew that from a couple of episodes ago, but I don't think the motivation
Norman,
was there.
Well, Norman
for that
said that
moment.
Norman told her, he's like, I'm seeing someone. It's not good to string her along. I'm seeing someone from school.
Okay.
That's true.
All right.
You know,
yeah.
Before they got in the car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that at the time, Norma wanted to be supportive to Emma. But once they got in the car, Norma was no longer a supportive mother. Now she was like a conspiring girlfriend, and they were going to go sneak in. And they were like, all of a sudden, Norma's like, she did seem like a disgruntled ex-girlfriend when she saw Bradley in yoga and all of a sudden had those flashes.
Yeah.
This was like an ex-girlfriend. And those flashes to me reminded me a lot about the flashes that Norman had with his teacher.
Yeah.
Like kind of those insane like flashes that when he had them about his teacher, it was all about that bondage kind of like very, very sexy
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes,
you know,
I'm with you.
And then he passed out, right?
Yeah.
But Norma was just like, I don't know if Norma gets him like Norman does, but she definitely got that, it was creepy.
Yeah.
Like she's sneaking around, sneaky. And then she's having the flashes, like you said, of Norman and Bradley doing their thing.
I love that. That's one of my favorite scenes of the entire series. Somehow that whole sequence about between Norma asking Emma to go in the car, like Norma consoling Emma and being like, let's go. And, you know, like I said, like, you know, poor, you know, Emma crying a little bit and then Norma consoling her.
Wait,
go ahead.
What did Emma say? Is that, we could watch her in yoga class. I mean, is that crazy?
Is that crazy?
Right.
We were watching her laugh her ass off. We're like, is that crazy?
Like,
who are you talking to?
Like, Norma's like, that's my middle name, bitch. Let's go.
Do it.
I'm Norma Crazy Bates.
It is. That's
Norma. Well, I just loved it when it got out of the car and they were about to spy on on Bradley, Norm was all like, oh, well, you know, teenage boys aren't that deep. It's not a big deal. They'll probably get over them.
I loved it all.
And then all of a sudden she sees her stretching out in her upward dog thing or whatever. Right. And all of a sudden, I was telling you this, when Norman fantasizes about the two of them, it's all like, you know, Return of the Blue Lagoon with the sheets all over and everything like that. But when she fantasizes about, I guess it is a fantasy, really. She's fantasizing about her son, which is really creepy. Notice that it was all Bradley doing everything. Yeah. It was Bradley pushing him up against the wall.
Pulling his hair back.
Pulling his hair and giving him a hickey.
Because in her mind, it's like, my poor son, you know, he doesn't know any better. Yep. This
being
woman is, you
accosted by this incredibly hot young thing.
Take it easy, Joe.
Well, Emma said it in the car.
It was just a good day of filming for Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore had a good day that day.
Well done, Freddie Highmore. Excellent job.
I'm
got the script and he was like, bummer, I've got to make out all day.
Terrible. I don't know what day we should shoot this on. Let's shoot it over 4 days.
Freddie Highmore.
That's my Freddie Highmore,
ladies and gentlemen. Your Freddie Highmore sounds remarkably like your James Purefoy.
Nothing pretty good.
Well, dude, you were saying that, Emma, I wrote it down here, I think. Was this what you're talking about? Locomotive of sexual energy? That's what
she
called.
Yes, that's what I meant.
That's what she called Bradley.
It was so adorable. And then what was the phrase that Emma used in the car?
She's like,
I don't want to talk out of school.
Out of school.
Right.
That was it goes on to what you said about her being an old soul. That's like a very outdated phrase, isn't it?
Feels like an outdated phrase, yeah.
That doesn't prove anything.
Really. You're outdated.
Yeah, I am outdated.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk out of school. What exactly does that mean?
You're telling tales out of school. Oh, that's mean spirited. if this were a different podcast, you'd have to take a shot.
Well, you know, I mean, the phrase means I don't want to talk out of turn. I don't want to say anything I'm not supposed to say. I don't want to be thinking.
I don't want to be telling tales out of school.
All right.
Well, but it specifically mean like the literal trends, but what when you say I'm going to be talking out of school, meaning I don't want to say things that I'm not supposed to say. I don't want to be overstep my bounds. I don't want to be rude.
Any
kind of variation of that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, that whole sequence from when they were in the car, and like you touched on, Emma's sort of like, you know, it was sort of reserved, like I'm jealous, I'm angry, I'm a little turned on. Whatever it was going on with Emma, it was this weird, like, you know, she's like a, what's the line, the sexual
locomotive of sexual energy.
Of sexual energy. And just,
so hilarious.
It was like the performance was so great. And Norma, her reaction is just sort of like, how great can she be? She's just a high school girl. Like, who is this girl? Like, what? Such a, like, a moment of, like, two girls, but yet two jealous girls, jealous for both, they're jealous of the same boy, for the wrong reasons, I suppose. It was just really interesting, and I loved that whole moment when they did actually sneak up to the yoga thing. They saw her in all those downward dogs and positions she was doing. And Norma...
It's upward dog.
Upward dog.
Was it upward? Or it's sun salutation.
It was sun salutation.
That's what it was.
Sun salutation.
We know our yoga.
well, Joseph Flippo definitely saluted when that happened. I love the choice that Vera Farmiga made when she, that little like move where she like ducked down and like
she did.
And she like got move, against the wall.
Like back to the wall and like looked in and peeked in. That was really,
she's
it was so
doing.
Over the top.
Really
it was
creepy.
Really great. Yeah. Anyway, I love that whole scene.
Did you guys catch, so I just want to talk, did you guys catch Bradley, when Bradley runs into Norman with Dylan outside of the parking lot and she's getting food to go. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about? When she, what was that look?
Did you see that look between Dylan and Bradley? That was like a, I'm going to come back to your house. I'm going to beat your house in 2 hours look. That was that look.
Yeah. Well, was that what the look was? Because I thought, I was like, because that was the first time that Dylan knew that was the girl. Like, do they have a history?
Ooh, yeah, that's awful.
I thought that immediately, but I don't know if it was, they already have a history. I thought it was more of like, there's an attraction.
There's something there.
I don't
definitely
know.
Something.
But they did know that, you know, they've, you know, the dad. Well, no, because they don't know each other because he asked about the dad. And goes, oh, that's
yeah,
no,
yeah.
But maybe they. But that's exactly it. Like he used to. He now works for the people that her dad used to work for. So maybe at the funeral, they met or something. Like there could have been a whole thing that we don't even know about yet.
That's pretty crazy, Dua.
Well, we were when Joe and I were watching. We were very nervous when Norman went to the house, and we were like, please, we thought we knew Dylan was going to answer the door. I'm like, Dylan, don't answer the door,
Dylan.
Please.
Hide under the bed.
Like, that's the worst thing that could happen to Norman.
Does that then answer the question, they did sleep together?
What, Dylan? No, Dylan was not there. We don't know.
No, we're talking about Norman.
No,
yes, I think so.
Norman and Bradley did sleep together because I thought when he got to the door and he was like, you know, it doesn't matter. I thought she was going to be like, what are you talking about?
I thought so too.
Like, well, I thought they did a great job, you know, the writers and the directors of episode did a great job of sort of stringing us along.
They did. They strung that out.
But really, in a good way, not in a manipulative way. They did a good job of just sort of like, because even up to, we had the moment when he was, you know, in the bedroom and Norma catches him and he's under the sheet. You know, that whole moment where he's...
The moment that every teenage boy has.
That we think that they're actually hooking up
again. I want to see the scene that what really happens. Because we see Norma's fantasy of it, and we see the way Norman thinks about it. I just want to see a struggling, awkward, 17-year-old boy at his first time.
Freddie Highmore, Nando is looking out for you.
I just want to see how it'd just be ridiculous.
I don't want to see.
I want to see the PG version of it. I want to see. Let's make this clear. I want to see the PG version.
I don't want to see any version.
You want the fumbling, confused guy?
Yeah, I want the awkward, comedic, fumbling, confused guy who just can't do anything.
But when we came in and we saw Norman caught him or whatever, and he was sort of hiding his
situation.
What are you doing?
Yes.
I'm just waking up.
So even they were like, that was almost confirmation that he imagined this whole thing.
Yeah,
that was like.
Really?
Oh, we all knew. Like, there it is. It's
the
magic.
Sheets, yeah.
And a very PG version of getting caught,
right?
As well, I will say.
But when he came to the door, it just built the tension that much more. When he came to the door and had that moment of spilling his guts out and saying, "You know what happened? You know what happened?" And she almost tries to speak. He's like, "No, let me finish." I'm like, "Let her speak."
Yeah, they strung it out the whole
scene. Did it happen or not? You know, so it was a really great job. I love the show. I really do. I love it so much. It's a good show. Norma. Anything else on Norma? Oh, another thing I just want to touch on with Norma, which we'll get to with Dylan, is which we skipped over Dylan, is the whole, what about Norma and Dylan's interaction?
I get mad when he shits on her because
Dylan,
I think it's unfair. Like, he threw that money at her.
Yeah.
Like, she's scrubbing the blood off the concrete, right? She's scrubbing the blood, and he's saying you can't get blood out of the stone, by the way.
Which is really interesting, yeah.
Right?
You can't get blood out of stone.
Not too subtle. But she's scrubbing that stone, right? And he's telling her it's porous, and you can't get it out. And she's like, well, you know, nobody will know what it was. Well, I'll know what it was. And she's scrubbing it. And, you know, he's gone to the room, and he's gotten the $500 from our buddy from Abernathy. Mm-hmm. And what does he do with the money? He doesn't hand it to her. He doesn't put it on the desk. He doesn't put it on the kitchen table. He throws it at her.
He was mad because she's being, like, he's frustrated.
I thought he just set it down. Like,
no, I tossed
her.
It. And then she's got
it. Well, he could have not given it to her at all and been like,
a lot of worse things he could have done.
In Dylan's defense, he just saved them, you know, and he's in a sling and he's pissed about it. Norman in an inappropriate hug on the couch. And then Norma's all happy and cooking the breakfast, and she says, you know, I'm still moving out, but I'll help out. And she's a total bitch to him.
I loved that change. I loved how she just completely changed, where he was like, he was like, you're cooking me breakfast?
Yeah.
Like, still, after everything he did, he was still shocked that she was doing something nice. And he just doesn't trust her behavior because he knows her.
Right.
He knows that she always has these ulterior motives.
But that relationship has still shifted so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, from him calling her a whore to them working together. Even with him moving out of the house, he's still helping her out with the mysterious guy.
I believed Norma, though. I don't know. I believed her.
I believed her, too.
When she was, like, happy and cooking and breakfast.
Yeah.
I think if he said, I'm staying, then they would be BFFs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like I said before, like I said a couple times ago, she wants things. And when she wants them so badly, and she makes reality. That's the kind of person she is. And when Dylan's like, nah, it's not happening, you know that she'd already concocted that my two boys are going to be here. They're going to help me run the hotel. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be fine. We just got out of the whole deal with the murder.
It was a very normal moment, her cooking breakfast for it's almost like she wanted this normalcy.
And then he's like, nah, it's not happening.
Well, because he knows. He's like, as soon as I tell her I'm moving out, this is all going to
go away. So might as well get it done.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm still moving out. This is... You can stop the act, Mom.
But I feel like when she told him the deal with Norman, I really felt like that was, you know, and obviously they're doing a lot better, the two of them, between the mother-son deal. But when she told him the real deal, I think that's that moment where you're like, you're pleading for an ally from an enemy. You're trying to make an ally out of an enemy. And really, someone who should never have been an enemy in the first place, if he knew what really happened. You know what I mean? And so when she told him what Norman had done with Dad, I really think that that was the turning point, or should have been more of a turning point.
I feel she thought it was.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with her.
Even after I told you, you're still leaving. Even about Norman, he's like, I gotta go.
I'm mixed on this. Like the sheriff comes in. Granted, the town is shady. The sheriff comes in and says, "All right, I'll take all the information. You've sold me everything now, and here's the story we're going to go with, and it's done." That has got to be a tremendous load off,
right?
I mean, it's wrong or right. Yeah, I get it. But come on, that's a huge load.
Irony of that whole sequence, though, the irony of that is that was the beginning, like, that was a brief moment, like, where everything was going well for Norma. She's like, wow, the load is lifted. I've got both my boys, I've got the hotel going, and then the rest of the episode was sort of like a steady decline down, because first Dylan sort of betrays her and says, I'm moving out.
Right.
And then she's like, well, who needs Dylan? I've got the hotel. And then the lady at the restaurant tells her, like, oh, yeah, your hotel's crap. No, everyone knows about you and Shelby.
It's just kind of tainted the place.
Yeah, that's strange for her. And then she goes off, and then strike three is she finds out her Norman is sleeping with a sexual locomotive or whatever it is. So
well, also just not to gloss over
she's a sexual locomotive.
Not to gloss over the restaurant manager, but when she's talking to Dylan later and she's washing the blood off the stone, she's all freaked out because everybody knows and it will affect things. She said it like it was a very vague way of saying it, but it also just kind of reinforces that there's still something we don't know. It's almost like she doesn't want people investigating them because if they'll find out about the father probably, but there might be something else too. She wants to keep everything good, and she also said we will be marked as failures, and that seems to be a big thing with her too.
She said that at the very beginning when she goes, I don't want people to know about Keith Summers because, you know, it's a small town and people find out and now they all know, and she was right actually.
Yeah.
She was right about that. But again, poor Norma had that brief moment where things were great and then it just all kind of went
funny how everybody knows, even though Romero tried to keep it as quickly, as tight-lipped as he could and trying to...
Did he?
Well, I mean, he tried to wrap things up, but everyone still knew about Shelby and everything.
Was Romero at the local bar? Like, yeah, Norma.
Well, it just shows that town is very corrupt, and we don't know how corrupt it is. And again, it just goes to show that Romero might have looked like he did a really honest thing.
Right.
Not honest. It was a dishonest thing, but it looked like he tried to really help them out. But really, we don't know his motives, and how did the town find out everything?
Yeah.
Especially about the affair, you know.
Yeah, especially the affair.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't trust Romero at all.
No, and I think it's all way too easily wrapped up, way too convenient. I agree. It's not going to be that simple.
Right. So, what about I don't know, Nando, what do you got?
I want to talk about the dog, because the dog was a very interesting thing, and I think it also ties into a lot of other things with Norma and even the whole Bradley thing. Norman had this big attraction to this dog, found the dog under the lattice under the house, and was trying to take care of it. And his conversation.
I also going to ask the same question. We disagree on this.
There was a moment when my buddy Norman.
With
the hammer.
You thought he was going to kill the dog?
I thought that dog was in deep shit. I thought, dog, don't go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. I forgot about that, too. I was commenting on that
as well. He's got that hammer up, and he's got the food out, and I'm like, oh, dog, stay where you are. You're doing good where you are.
It was a really...
And you know
really,
how Norman feels about those blunt objects.
He likes blunt objects.
That's a weapon of choice.
But it was funny that he immediately changed, and then he was like, I won't hurt you, and then the dog runs. And so it was. He did have that moment, but I think it was just for the audience. I don't know if that was actually
okay.
All right. Well, I don't think Norman was going to ever hurt the dog. Joe seems to think he's trying to kill the dog.
I don't think so.
I don't think he was trying to kill the dog. I think he just has. There's a thing in Norman. There's a madness in the boy, and I think that he had that hammer up because the madness in the boy was saying, pick up the hammer, Norman. And then he had the hammer up, and he's going, oh, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't kill the dog, maybe I should. Well, the dog's gone, decision-making over.
While he has those moments, I still think he's just an awkward 17-year-old who seems to be very lucky with women. But, I think that's what it is, and he just doesn't know how to hold a hammer when he's trying to get a dog to come over. So
came up, that's all I'm saying.
No, but it is something worth noticing. It is worth noticing. But as we could see, he meant no ill will to the dog later on in the episode.
No.
But his excuse for friending the dog when Norma seemed very, very, again, very against him bonding with
anything
somebody,
or
with anything or anybody, even the dog, is that he always wanted a dog and that the dog has no home and she's lonely. And then he says all families have a dog. So it's almost like he wants... he wants normalcy as well, in a way. And I think a dog is a way for him to try and get over whatever it is he's getting over and to have some normalcy in his life. And he even wants to take responsibility. Almost the way he takes responsibility for his mom when his mom's in trouble.
Sure.
Which I think is really, really interesting.
Right.
So, and then... this really ties into Bradley, and you know, I admitted that I haven't seen the movie in forever, and I can barely remember a thing. But one thing you mentioned, which was really, really interesting, was, and I forgot about this, was his love. You know, the fact that he would attack blondes.
Yes,
and he would attack blondes, and it's really interesting that he has this feeling for Bradley, but not for Emma. And I also, we glossed over this, but I wanted to mention, when he was connecting with Bradley at the end, he mentioned how they both lost their fathers. So I thought that was an interesting connection, too, that might be aware that maybe... And Emma lost her mom, and Bradley doesn't see... And for some reason, Norma doesn't care about that, which I think is really odd, considering his own relationship with his mother. But the fact that he's bonding with Bradley, and he used the father defense, the father thing, was interesting. But notice that the dog is also blonde.
Is the dog blonde?
The dog is light-haired. It's blonde.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if he's bonding with Bradley as much as he's starting to obsess about Bradley.
I think that's more what's happening.
Yeah. But I definitely agree with
you.
I mean,
the only bond was the...
And there is... I mean, that...
For those of you not being able to see, was exactly what you thought it was.
I like the dog because I think... I know that... Braswell loves like origin stories, but I think it starts talking about his taxidermy and how he gets so into the taxidermy, and because when that dog
gets run over,
Emma's dad can fix dead things.
Exactly. Yeah. He picks up that dog, and poor Norman was just having the worst day that day.
And he also said that he killed a dog. The car that ran over him, he claimed responsibility for it. He kind of did that little turn like he did with Bradley, like he was about to go psycho. Yeah. But he ended up taking full responsibility for killing that dog.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't wrong. I mean, the dog was crossing the road to get to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, stay or not stay, the dog, you know. And or then, did he say stay?
Well, but that was just it. And I know that Nando talked about this. It's funny. When he said stay, the dog came. When he said come here, the dog stayed. So it's like the dog was doing exactly the opposite of what Norman wanted, which was what caused him to get hit by the car.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing notice about the dog death is that, again, Norman goes out of the house to go see Bradley. He comes back. Something bad happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's another... This time it's not his mom, it's the dog. But still, it's something bad happens when he leaves the house to talk to Bradley.
Right.
Or to hook up with Bradley. Or to whatever with Bradley.
My favorite scene was the scene after he left Bradley's house. When Bradley told him that she wasn't interested in him. And then he walks and he has that slight moment where he turns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's Norman Bates.
And he's absolutely Norman Bates. And then he starts walking and he starts verbatim.
Yes,
saying
talking
exactly
about
what mom said.
What his mother was saying. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're seeing it. You're seeing it. It's beginning.
Nice girls don't go to somebody's house the first day they meet them.
He's Norman Bates. Like, it's freaking me out. Like, even that shot of him walking, like, was such a Hitchcockian shot with her.
In the back. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Has those Norman Bates, you know, he's going full Norman Bates mode, like talking like, you know, nice girls. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
But then she hugs him, and then for a minute, he goes back to just the innocent Norman boy.
Yeah.
And then she goes away. And
as we said,
like,
the spell is broken.
The spell is broken. Yeah. Maybe she smells really good.
Maybe
that's all he needed in Psycho later on was just a little bit of perfume. It would have been fine.
Is that it for you and the dog?
Yeah, pretty much.
I just have a couple quick things. Is you just notes. Number one, I just did love. We talked about that moment. Just to piggyback on that last thought, the moment of him at the door and him being completely vulnerable and then being completely ripped, his heart ripped out by Bradley.
I'll go one step further than vulnerable. He was a little cocky. He had a moment where it wasn't so much like, hey, we got that thing, right? Right. He was like, you and I both felt
right.
That. He was laying it in a little
bit. His swag was a little up.
He had a little swag.
Like, I don't know if you broke up with Richard, but you should.
Right.
That was
you're right, clearly. After you and I, you know.
I mean, come on, you don't
have
had
the baits. You don't have
it. Have you had this? You know
what it's going. You know what's going down.
I mean,
takes a lot of balls. That's a really, that was a...
But no, but that seeing him turn into Norman Bates at the end there was really scary. I didn't know what was going to happen at that moment. I'm like, oh my God, this may be it, or something bad, or is there a blunt object? Is there a stick on the ground? Look out, Bradley!
Bradley, you're in trouble right now.
But we did have another moment back just with Norma earlier. Every other episode, we have to have one good freak out.
Norman!
She said, "I thought about you when I heard that." She has to do that Norman scream.
That's the best. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. And then lastly, just the thing I want to touch on is back to our creepy guy, band number 9, Mr. Abernathy. I do want to just really expand upon this whole renting out the entire motel thing. Like we touched on it earlier, but I want to just unpack it a little bit. Do we think that what are our predictions there? Is it a sex slave ring? Is it
well,
what's he doing?
Is he really in sales?
This is yeah, it has to be.
He's clearly a good, very good salesman.
So this is what I find interesting. So he originally was telling Norma and Dylan he has a standing reservation there for 1 week every 2 months, right? Then afterwards, after he realized that like Keith Summers isn't there anymore and he's dead, he now wants to rent out the whole side, which means that he doesn't want anybody else around for what he's doing.
Maybe he's taking over.
Exactly. Something that Keith was probably okay with doing and knew what he was doing. Now he just wants to rent out all the rooms for 2 weeks. He's in sales. I definitely think that he's looking for something, as they alluded to in the previous, but I think that he either helps transport the sex slaves and sells the weed.
He's not selling Avon. He's not selling Amway. No. He's not working for Mary Kay. He's not looking for that pink Cadillac. I mean, whatever he's doing, it's not going to be on the up and up. When was the last time you went to a hotel and were like, hey, don't send anybody to clean up the rooms. Don't worry about that.
Right.
We got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe he's having a giant Tupperware party, a giant convention.
I don't know.
Maybe he's selling. All right. So anyway, that will be. I can't wait to find out more because I'm very excited. We didn't get a chance to see because we watched it on iTunes, but we didn't get a chance to see the previews.
The previews were interesting. Yeah.
So we have no idea. You know.
So next week, the previews I think allude to the fact that he's kind of misbehaving in school, and the teacher. We're actually going to have call in next week. Is that correct?
Yes.
We have a guest
next week. We'll have Miss Swanson.
Miss Watson.
Miss Watson will be making a
Cheater Conan Tracy.
Thank you. Thank you, Marissa. We were going to say that. But I didn't have it ready. But you did.
So. That Miss Watson's is very easy on the eyes. She is very easy.
It's a call-in from Vancouver?
Yeah. Is it from Vancouver?
I don't know. It's from Canada, I thought.
Yeah. It's Marissa shaking
her head.
From
Canada?
Yeah.
Well, excellent.
Are they shooting season 2 right now? Is that why she's in Vancouver?
She's up there doing Once Upon a Time.
Oh, she does that too.
Aha. Uh-huh. I know that Marissa likes that show.
Well, I've actually talked to her for my Once Upon a Time show.
Oh. So. Marissa.
Yeah, there you go.
She's talked to us before.
I was hoping she'd be here in person to see if we can end up reacting like Norman and like black out, being just next to her. And,
well, let's just
like the heartbeat, just the heart starts beeping really, really fast while she's with us, and we're all like blacking out.
Black out. Yeah, even Dua.
Yeah,
even me.
We'll jump in news and gossip, but I want to say one last thing about the Norma. It's also a little dead on, but the fact that his name is Norma, her name is Norm. I mean, his name is Norman. Her name is Norma, and they're just searching for normalcy.
Oh, wow. Well, one other thing I wanted to say. That's awesome. I did want to say that Norma's freak out when Norman walked out and she slammed a door, you know, that whole like bipolar type thing. That I feel that Norman totally matched it at the very, very end when the dog died and they were talking. The way he was screaming.
Right,
he really matched it, her like note for note.
Yeah.
So again, another cross where he's turning into his mom. I forgot about that. I wanted to mention that about that.
Well, we had that earlier too when they had the argument about about being set up. You know, he's been escalating. Like, well, mom, you don't understand, mom, and she likes me or whatever he was doing, and it was escalating. But
they're really like mimicking each other's screams at this point. I really think pay attention to when they're freakouts because they really sound very, very. They're sounding more and more similar.
It's creepy.
You know what I was thinking about last week?
I don't
after
know.
After we after we left the show. You had mentioned, Nando, that when Norma was cleaning up Norman's mess after he killed his father, that you didn't think it was the first time that Norma had to do this.
Yeah.
Now, and we know that John Bates was on disability, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did he get disabled?
Do you think he might have been struck?
It's like a very Oedipal...
With a blunt object?
Yeah, it's like a very Oedipal thing that Norman has like maybe attacked his father in the past. That's why he was disabled.
Hmm.
Like
that's he's interesting.
Always, Theories.
Oedipus Rex.
Let's do some news and gossip. No? Okay.
I can do tickety tickety.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Tickety tickety. All right. Hey, again, thanks everybody for writing. Let me just mention a couple of people who have posted comments and given us some ratings. Dolls. Thank you, Dolls.
Just East like, Side just 25. Just more than
more
one,
than one doll. More than one doll.
All right.
Dolls. It might be one person, but it, she...
I have this vision of, like, she. Porcelain dolls.
I think she probably does, too.
Yeah. G. Pet Guild. And Micah L., he posts a lot all the time for us. And then on the tickety-ticky for YouTube, D. Sinomi... Dave 1555.
Hey, wait a minute. Stop right there.
Stop right there.
Stop at Dave 1555.
Stop your tickety-tickety.
Wait, because he wrote in, this guy, first of all, he said that I'm good, which I love. Thank you, Dave 1555. I love the compliments. But he also said, he commented on this, he said, I love the show. I really like the lady who keeps you three guys from the following podcast in line, as you do tend to go off topic sometimes.
Whoa. What? Whoa. Ooh. Whoa.
What?
You know, when I was 15, Dave, I had a dog. And this dog... You're supposed to reel me in long before the dog barks.
Yeah, no. You're not doing your job, dude.
Because I'm getting off topic.
I'm sorry. I just like that he called me a lady. That's
what favorite
all I
soft drink do you like, Joe? I just want to know.
I love Mountain Dew.
You love Mountain Dew? Okay. I kind of like Sprite.
I like mountains.
You like mountains?
Yeah, mountains are weird.
You know what's cool about mountains?
All right, guys.
No.
All right. Let's reel it in.
Okay. We're back. Okay. The gaming brothers, I guess. The three gaming brothers. Dr. Lee 2, Jake 216, and Mark Tonzillo, who just posted like 2 hours ago, which is awesome.
That's
and
great.
He wants to know, where's the psycho music? You know, I guess we should do one of these with the psycho music. There we go. We should do one.
And
that's the tickety-tickety.
All right.
We'll do that next week. We'll do that next week.
We'll do it next
week. Okay, well, let's jump into predictions then.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I'm so excited about my own predictions. I've got some really good predictions.
Well, you're going last, so it's terrible.
I'm really excited about my predictions.
I predict that Sanfilippo won't have any predictions.
Whoa, your prediction is wrong.
Whoa!
How about that? That's
Joe, what do you got?
Here's my prediction. I predict that our girl Bradley and our boy Dylan are going to be bumping something. And I predict that when that happens, our boy Norman is going to kill something.
Oh, dear.
And I predict that that something is going to have four legs. It's going to be an animal. But I predict that Norman's going to kill an animal. When Dylan and Bradley start banging. That's what I predict. Because Norman has never killed a human being that he's conscious of killing. You know, he's only killed Dad, but he wasn't like he did it on purpose. Do you know what I'm saying? He just kind of blacked out. He went to that crazy place. I think he's going to do something on purpose if and when we catch Bradley with Dylan.
He's going to take it out on an animal?
That's what I think.
Interesting. All right.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
All right. Okay.
Well, I mean, he's starting to possibly get into the taxidermy, so it's possible.
Yeah. Might saying that hammer came collection. Up on that dog. That hammer came up on that dog. I said, there's something inside Norman that wants to hit that dog.
All right.
Interesting.
Okay,
right.
Nando?
Well, I was going to say the exact same thing except for the animal. I was going to say Bradley and Dylan look like they're definitely going to hook up, and it's going to draw a big... I mean, this happy family that's going on right now between the three of them, even though things are starting to fall apart, it's going to get much worse. It's got to. So I think that's going to be... draw a big wedge between the two brothers. So and something's going to happen. I think maybe it's going to happen to Bradley. Maybe not an animal. So I'll say Bradley.
Oh, you took it. All right. my prediction was that I think that Bradley is going to die. But my prediction is also I don't think that Dylan and Bradley are going to do something. I think that maybe they already have done something. Hmm. But Dylan knows about Norman and about what happened. So. And as a brother, I don't think that he would continue to do something knowing that his brother, really likes this girl. But I think that something maybe has happened previously that we will find out about.
So you think he's been run over already by the sexual locomotive?
I think, yes, with that sexual energy of hers.
Some Anna Karenina stuff going on over there. I got
sexual locomotive.
All right. Here's the tease. Let's the build up. What's up? Let's do it.
I predict. Oh. No, I got a couple. I think that Bradley's probably not going to make it as well, but I think that she will be, some way, shape, or form, we're going to see her in the shower. That's going to, she's going to be the origin story for the shower scene. I'm not saying she's going to, get it in the shower, but either Norman will definitely be doing some spying because, Norman Bates is very much a peeping Tom.
Creeper.
And definitely a creeper. So I think we're going to see some spying and I think this is where Norman's going to be obsessed with Bradley, be watching her, and that's where that whole thing comes from. So I think that's gonna happen. I do and also believe that we see the origin of Norman's whole taxidermy obsession, but what we will see is that once this dog gets stuffed, because this dog will get stuffed, Norman is gonna start talking to this dog. and talking to the dog like it's a person, like, just like he did his mother when he stepped to mother. So I think this will be the first time we start to see Norman lose a little bit because he loves the dog so much, so emotionally connected to the dog. The dog's dead. Mm-hmm. It'll be moments where, like, you know, he's talking to the dog. He even said, like, you know, the dog, I can save him, or something to that effect. So that dog is not going to be dead in Norman's mind, and that's going to be another psychotic break. And so Norman's going to have to deal with that.
Oh.
And lastly,
you got more?
Well, you guys sparked something. I'll let you. This is what you said. I think that, like, if Norman does in fact go down that road and start killing other animals, it would make sense because in the movie Psycho, his taxidermy place was filled with animals.
Yep.
So maybe the dog is the first. So maybe we'll start seeing more and more animals. Oh. And Norman, like, these are my friends.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's that. And then to your point about Bradley getting it, you know, I realized that Norman's not the only guy who has it out for Bradley potentially, because Norma's not too happy about this whole Bradley situation. Either.
Mm.
Neither is Emma.
No.
So, I mean, Bradley's got a lot of reasons that she could go, and those are all my predictions.
Interesting.
Which I'm very proud of all of them.
Before we wrap this up, I just want to give a shout out to Freddie Highmore, because that scene in his fantasy where he's kissing with Bradley and they're getting it on, he even in his fantasy, he's goofy. Yeah. If you watch that scene again, he's goofy.
When he says, trust me, he's like, trust me. Like, and he has that, yeah.
He was kissing goofy. It was, that's my kissing goofy.
They're rotten, baby.
Oh,
yeah. What was your big revelation? You were so excited.
Oh, I just had a thought that when you were talking about him spying, that what if he went to go spy on Bradley and, like, didn't have, like, a costume, and so dressed up in his mother's clothes, and, like, that's where that's kind of sprouted from, that he had to, like, get, like, but I don't know why I was so excited about it, because now saying it, it's not as exciting, but maybe that could, like, origin of, like, how, you know, he's like, well, I have nothing. He's like, I borrow a wig or something, and then that's how, you know, it's.
You can borrow a wig from the Americans.
We'll see.
They got lots of wigs.
Which we're going to do the American season finale right now. Joe, where we can find you?
You can find me at Joe Flippo on the Twitters. You can also find me here with Joe Braz and Nando Val on the phone. No, not anymore. The following is wrapped. We also do the Americans, Joe and I, and we do Mad Men on Sunday nights.
And my Twitter is Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L. You can find me with these guys on past episodes of The Following if you want to catch up on that. And I also do The Amazing Race and Celebrity Apprentice. And we'll probably do some stuff over the summer.
I think so.
We're going to do some stuff. I have an idea. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, not Hannibal, unfortunately, but something else.
I have an idea, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some stuff over the summer as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have more. Yeah, I am. It is. I'll have more information on that for you actually on my Twitter page, so you can follow me on Twitter, DuaKaissi, DuaKaissi, and I will talk more about it next week. Thank you.
And I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter, and as Joe said, Mad Men and the American season finale, and that's it on Grantland and other places. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.